Welcome to Recovery Rocks, where we talk about all things recovery and music. I'm Tawny.
And I'm Lisa, and we're really glad you're here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Glad you're here. It's Lisa, and as ever, with
Tawny.
This is not Britney Spears today.
Not Britney. Not today.
Not today. Feeling a different vibe. So we wanted to talk today about something that I've often referred to as emotional hangovers. And what an emotional hangover is to me is that is when in recovery, you know, we get to show up for all these things that we didn't show up for before, whether it's things at work, with our family, it could just be a dinner, it could be whatever it is. Where we're not necessarily struggling to stay sober. It's not a struggle to stay sober, but it's an emotionally kind of taxing event. And then sort of feeling the effects of that event for, you know, a period of time, which can vary afterwards. And I'll give an example from recently. You know, we've all been going through so much with the pandemic and not seeing people and not seeing family, and everything changes so much in a year and a half and all that's going on. And there's been some pretty big stuff going on with my family. And I went, you know, when I was finally able to start to travel, I've gone home, and there was a big family thing that I had recently, where, you know, I had a fly to the East Coast. It was, a few days with my mom, then a few days upstate with other family. And when I got back, it was a great trip. And, you know, it was a lot because I was very much in my pandemic kind of life moves a little slower thing. And then seeing everybody, you know, I have a big family upstate, and it was wonderful. And we were all like, yay, we're together. But I realized when I got back after about a week, I was like not in a good mood. I was wiped out physically. I felt it physically. Even though I got good sleep while I was there, I was exhausted and I just did not feel right in my head. And it is that feeling that I've had before when there is something. You know, I can experience that a lot around the holidays. Like I remember my first sober holidays, getting through them and showing up and not, you know, losing my shit, but like afterwards just feeling, you know, spent and almost like too close to what a hangover felt like to me. Like just that kind of uncomfortable in my skin sort of thing. And, you know, I didn't understand, like I did this thing sober. I showed up sober. I did all the work. I called my sponsor first. I called my sponsor after. And why am I feeling like shit the next day? And the fact is that these things, whatever they are, we expend a lot of emotional juice on it. And we are doing that without, you know, numbing out and being able to sort of half listen to this one or that one, or to be, you know, really like in a different state, and it can be emotionally exhausting. And, you know, I know some people, I've heard friends talk about, you know, getting their kid off to college and then not just the empty nest feeling, but the sort of like, oh, like what is, you know, there's things that take a lot of build up or preparation or whatever it is that we think about a lot, that we put a lot of energy into. And then we really do the thing. And then it's just like, I'm white. I mean, I'm going to include in the show notes an article that I wrote years ago, many years ago, but about this phenomena, like after having gone through a work event, you know, the first time and being like, yay, I got through it. And then being the next day, like, crap, what is this feeling? Like, and my sponsor said, you're having an emotional hangover. And I was like, I didn't know there were hangovers in sobriety, you know, but they pass, there are, and they pass. And like with everything else when I feel off or when I don't, you know, like when I have a depression relapse, if I have an emotional hangover, I know, you know, I am most helped when I acknowledge that this is what it is. I feel sort of like crap because the last week I've been running around and, you know, fully engaged and I'm like wiped from that. And I know it'll pass. You know, when I accept it for what it is and don't try to fight it and don't try to be like, you got a full night's sleep last night. Now go walk, you know, and I don't feel like walking. I got to like be gentle with myself and let that go. So that's my idea of an emotional hangover. And they don't last nearly as long as a depression relapse. Like a depression relapse is a very different thing, but it can have that quality of discomfort to it.
I've written down so much from your beautiful monologue. Cause I feel like I've just been taking so many notes from you today.
Oh my God, you're so funny.
No, it's true. Cause there's a lot of really good nuggets in there. Like the last thing you said, honestly, I mean, it's just really listen to your body, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like when you are drinking or self-medicating and not plugged into reality as much, you are not plugged into your body.
Absolutely.
So you don't know, you know, you might not have felt like we've probably always had emotional hangovers. We just didn't feel them because we didn't know what they were. And we were so disconnected from our emotions. So this is probably not a new phenomenon for sober folks.
Great point.
It's just that we don't know, like, what the hell are we, what are these feelings, you know, because we were hiding from them for so long. And then an emotional hangover, it's like, it's reminding me of learning more about my introverted side in sobriety, where I'm clearly an extrovert. Like, you know me, if you're in a room with me for 2 seconds, you know I'm a big old extrovert. But I also am learning more about my introverted side in sobriety, where that extroverted side requires a lot of energy, or as you said, I wrote down emotional juice. Yeah. I wrote it down and underlined it. You know, before the pandemic, I was doing a lot of sober events, either hosting or attending, going to a lot of book launches and, you know, being involved in the writing community, which are all things that I genuinely enjoy doing. I love doing these things. And sobriety shows me that it's exhausting. It takes, like, when I was hosting readings on recovery every couple months, the buildup of putting an event together of that magnitude and dealing with, you know, logistics and organizing volunteers and organizing sponsors and getting flyers ready and getting the event space looking the way that I wanted it, you know, like event production in general. I loved it. I genuinely enjoyed it. But the day after, oh my God, I felt like I was hit by a truck and I couldn't move. I couldn't talk.
I totally remember this. So remember you going through this.
I was just deflated. I really was completely deflated. So there is this, you know, there was this adrenaline associated with this event production. And, you know, I got a lot of like serotonin and dopamine boosts from it, to where, you know, kind of like, or that I'm just like word vomiting right here. It's not a complete thought yet, but like, it kind of reminds me of when you do like a drug, like ecstasy or Molly, where you get this huge serotonin boost. And then the next day you are essentially also deflated because your body wasn't budgeting. Like, she needs this serotonin for tomorrow too. Like, that's kind of how like event production is for me, where it's like I get this surge and then it's just a downward crash for a couple days. And the meds definitely help with my, you know, my daily Lexapro help with that. Also learning that I need to budget my energy.
I was just going to say that you've done an amazing job having gone through those, I remember that so well. And then saying, I can't do so many events.
No, I can't. And, you know, I also realized that doing all of these events took me away from my writing. And well, you know, like, and I will do events again in the future, but not to the magnitude of what I was doing, because when I was so laser focused on these events, I couldn't write as much. And when I was writing, it wasn't the quality that I knew I was capable of, because I was just spreading myself too thin.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, I like that you're talking about it more from like a family dynamic perspective. And I'm talking about it from, you know, like the career wise of like, because essentially we're, you know, we're also talking about burnout here.
Yes.
Like that career burnout, but also this like extreme, like these big family things are going to happen. And especially like you were also like, while you're going through this, like you're new to California, career transition, you know, you're also going through your own human things. And then all this family stuff happens. And so like that's a lot to process and a lot to deal with. And I feel like in our culture, we're just, for some reason, we're just taught to like, just keep go, like go forward. Don't stop and think. And when you're in recovery, you kind of have to, you have
right.
to stop
yes.
and think. And like you say, where are my feet?
Well, and also the go, go, go was a lot of go, go, going for the sake of just being in motion. Like, I think about what you did. So you started from nothing. You started a Readings on Recovery series that was, you know, readings in this great space with a bunch of writers and inviting, just doing a totally sober event and start to finish. You did everything on it. You made every aspect of that happen. And it was definitely something you wanted to do, and you did it incredibly well, and they were awesome events. But you got to the point yourself, because you are sober and can take a sober decision to say, I love this, but I have the clarity to see that it is taking me away from focusing on my writing, which is my true passion, which is where I really want to take it. And you had the stones to say, I'm backing off from all these events so I can focus on my writing. Whereas I feel like if it weren't in sobriety, you might've just kept organizing event after event, because like go, go, go means just keep going with whatever you're doing. Whereas mm-hmm. in sobriety, you can stop and pause and go, hold on, let me look at the big picture. And, you know, just saying, I remember you saying like, I think I just can't do as many of these events, and me saying, then don't, like, absolutely. You can't
yeah.
burn yourself out. You've got, you know, too much you want to do, and you work too hard to begin with.
Well, and while I was going through that realization, you and I went to go see the Alexander McQueen documentary.
Oh my God. I remember that was the best day.
That, and I had just gotten back from Sweden. I was flown out to do a
yes.
talk at an international recovery conference. And this was like actually right before I legit had a nervous breakdown, you know, like,
right.
So, and this is how bad
sober.
It was.
Yeah.
Sober. Yes. Like
yeah.
I found myself, like, if you don't know anything about Alexander McQueen, he was a very talented fashion designer who struggled with mental health issues and addiction. And so the fact that I was watching this documentary and I felt seen was like
yes.
a huge red flag for me, where I am in no way comparing myself to Alexander McQueen. But I will say, watching, you know, hearing him talking about how, you know, his fashion shows, how they were killing him because he had to keep making the next one bigger than the previous one, and
yeah.
like bigger and bigger and bigger. And I felt that on my own level with this event series of like, well, the next one's got to be bigger. I've got to get a bigger sponsor. I've got to get a bigger lineup. I've got, you know, just, and like that, like I said, it was a huge red flag where I'm identifying with this man who is no longer with us because of his self-destructive
right, because
patterns.
Of this. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that honestly helped me kind of reel it in, pull it back. And like I said, I will do those events again at some point, but it'll be on a different scale, because those the hangovers.
Yeah. Well,
the hangovers weren't worth it.
I think what you're saying, like that you have a certain amount of emotional juice, dopamine, whatever, yeah. and you got to budget it. I think that's such mm-hmm. a smart way of putting it. And when you know something is going to be big and taxing, like this trip that I just took, I should have known and thought about ahead of time, of course I'm going to have an emotional hangover and be mm-hmm. totally wiped when I get back. Of course it's going to take me a few days before I start to feel okay again. And that's okay. But yeah, I remember, I will say that was the first movie that I went to where we laid in those reclining seats. That was so fun when we went
that
to
That was
see McQueen.
Fun. Yeah. I remember we were either going to see RBG or Alexander
yeah.
McQueen. And I feel like RBG would have definitely been a more uplifting film.
Yeah.
I just wanted the fashion and the drama.
We
so
were
I was
obsessed.
Like, no.
We're both obsessed yeah. with McQueen. So we had to go. Yeah. And
we
did
to go.
Both see RBG subsequently.
We exactly. And I think I needed to see that movie to
yeah.
to kind of chill out. But you know, the emotional hangover conversation is so important because life will keep happening. Like we are sober, we are
yes.
in recovery, we know, you know. We have our sobriety toolbox. We know how to take care of ourselves on a daily level. But life will keep happening. Like you said, what was it? Like life is 10% of...
10% is what happens and 90% is how we respond to it.
Exactly. So I feel like the emotional hangover conversation really speaks to that because so much of life is reacting to life and
right.
If you can look at it from this budgeting your energy the same way that you budget your money perspective, I mean, that shift really was a game changer for me of like, okay, I'm
yeah.
going to, you know, I have three things on my calendar today and that's it. That's all I can do.
Right.
And, which is challenging for me because I'm, come from the like they say, the addiction of more, where I want more
yeah.
more. So there is this part of me where like I want to add another thing to my calendar because, and if I can't add that fourth thing, then I'm lazy, I'm worthless, what are you even doing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's this whole spiral. But I'm learning that if I don't listen to that
yeah.
and if I don't become proactive to this energy budget, then I will react and it'll just not be pretty for a couple days after.
Yes. And also it will not be moving on the path that you really, you're not taking the time to think, yeah, I'm adding more things, but are they the right things? You know, and by taking away, look how much more writing you've done since you started taking those events off your plate. It's remarkable. Also
yeah.
on the what you were saying about the being a total extrovert, there is something that I learned about the introverted extrovert, or the extroverted introvert. It's one or the other, but what it means is the person who is truly like in social situations, even at work, even whatever, is an extrovert and, you know, organizes all kinds of things and enjoys it and loves it and all that stuff. But like after a certain point, that person crashes,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, I feel like when I speak, you know, I prep stuff, I do whatever. And then I give a talk and whatever, I'm tired after that. Like I'm kind of shot
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I'm extroverted too. In the world, but wow, I really need that downtime after. Like I would, when I was traveling before COVID and I would go, you know, to law firms or conferences and speak and I'd be in a different city, you know, people would be like, oh, do you want to go? We'll go for dinner. We'll go for whatever. I'd be like, no, that thanks. I can't, whatever. I, you know, no is a complete sentence and not do it because I would know that I was going to be done and I was going to be wiped out. And if I had to then be like, okay, yeah, great, let's go to dinner, and then I'm out later than I wanted to be, and then I don't get as much sleep, then I'm only going to be worse off for it. So, you know, the idea of, and I guess, I don't know if you put it either way, but whatever it is, the extroverted introvert or the introverted extrovert, is the idea that, yeah, you're not a shy person. You're one of these people who's out there like engaging with the world all the time, but then, wow, you've got to like take a break.
Well, and it's, I think it's ambivert is
Wow, that's a great word for it.
Yeah, it's an ambivert. And because I definitely, I really feel both. I genuinely feel both.
I do too.
To where, you know, there's this part of me that I would rather have like one full day of like back-to-back meetings and stuff to do, and then followed by 2 days of nothing.
Me too.
As opposed to two things each day. I would rather like, it's also kind, I think it's the New York mentality of like, well, I'm already going downtown, I might as well do this, this, and this, because I don't want to go downtown 3 times this week. Right. You know? So
no, it's true.
It's the same thing where I'm like, yep, I'm going to be on Zoom all day today, and that's just what I'm going to do. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to be in bed reading my book.
That is so funny, because I do the same thing. I pile everything on into as few days as I can, and I used to do it, you know, at work. I would always try to schedule as many meetings as I could in the morning, because I wanted to get, I have a meeting today, I want to sit down and do the meeting. You know, if I have 3 meetings today, I would like to do them all morning, and I will prepare for them the night before, but then I'm not sitting there at my desk at 2 o'clock working on something else and knowing I still have a meeting at 5 o'clock. You know, well, I just want all the meetings done, and then I want to just do my work.
It's honestly smart, and it's efficient. For I look at it as efficiency. It's like one outfit, one day of makeup, one day of being, quote, being
on.
You know, it's like I'd rather be on for 8 hours straight on one day and then have a couple days of being off, literally being off. So and I have some friends that doesn't work. They would rather work, you know, a couple hours 7 days a week, as opposed to that works for them, you know?
Right. I'm in your camp though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Funny. We've never talked about that.
I think that's kind of our like all or nothing mentality too, of
probably.
You know, just being addicts in recovery, it's like, yeah, we're gonna go balls to the wall, and then we're gonna do absolutely nothing. Don't call me.
And then we're gonna be emotionally hungover. Yeah. Oh my god, that's so true. That's so true. So I mean, really, like, that was what I wanted to talk about with emotional hangovers, because I had, you know, I had that big one recently, and the way I deal with it, like I said, is like accepting it and knowing that it will pass. But really, the thing that we all, so many of us, find so hard to do, which is like being gentle with ourselves, like just saying it is okay for me to, you know, be off right now, to not feel like, okay, now I'm back, now I got to go hit the ground running. And, you know, for me, that looks like a lot of reading, maybe some Netflix, and, you know, sort of giving myself more permission than usual to just not be in forward motion.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I feel like that's probably something you and I are going to always be in the work.
I think it's always, yeah, this is part of being a sober human, is like, it is always being in it, you know, being in the work and doing it. And thank goodness we have the tools we have.
Well, and also being sober humans, but also in our line of work where we do have so many creative projects.
Yeah.
We don't work jobs where you clock in, clock out.
Right. Right. Now, which I did for 30 years.
Exactly. So
you clocked in, you never clocked out.
Yeah. So like, that's something that, you know, you're still unlearning because you recently relocated. That's something that, you know, like with our writing, with podcasting, with public speaking, like those are fun, creative, artistic things that we genuinely enjoy doing. So that can also be our detriment because it doesn't feel like work and we're so fired up about it and it's technically fun, but we don't realize that it's exhausting.
Like, and that's where the energy budget reminder has to come in for us.
Yeah. And I think it's like, you know, keeping in mind of like whatever your energy budget looks like, where it's like, you know, you have $100 to last for 2 weeks. How are you going to make that last? So it's the same thing. It's like, I have this amount of, like Lisa says, emotional juice, and I can spend that on, you know, so-and-so's birthday party and going to this birthday and going to this event dinner.
Right.
And that's it.
That's it for my week. Yeah. And I think your level of emotional juice fluctuates, maybe with the season, maybe with the, you know, from year to year, who knows, maybe from day to day. And your emotional juice is always going to have to be, you always need enough in your tank that when the unexpected thing happens, you can show up, you know? So running it to empty and then keeping it and then trying to fill it all back up right away. You know, because what if you spend all that juice and then something happens and you need more juice and you just don't have it? Because, you know, it's life on life's terms. Things come at us. Like you said, life will keep happening. So, but we do our best. We do our best to be aware.
Well, this is reminding me of Running on Empty by Jackson Brown.
Oh my gosh, that is genius. Yes. Yes.
Running on Empty by Jackson Brown, and also Emotions by the Bee Gees, covered by Destiny's Child.
I was thinking about, first of all, Running on Empty, if you're ever in need of a full album to just like chill to, Running on Empty is one of my favorites. It is just start to finish. Genius.
Maybe you'll buy that on vinyl.
Oh my God, you should. I had it on vinyl because I'm old. But actually, I remember my babysitter bringing it over on vinyl to play at the house when she was babysitting us because she was in love with Jackson Brown. The one I thought of and, you know, was The Stones' Emotional Rescue. Rest in peace, Charlie Watts. Mm. What a loss.
Truly.
Yeah. But Emotional Rescue has always been, I think, an underrated Stones album. So there's your music minute.
Yeah. Let us know how you clock out. Let us know your.
Do you have emotional hangovers? How do you deal with them? Yeah. I love how you made it, put that into the budget thing and just talked about like, you know, that life will keep happening. And until next time, be well, everybody. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.